Well, I'm guessing most of you know that experience of deciding to clean out your garage or a closet or sometimes even just a drawer. It's never just what you see at first glance, is it? It's never what you just see at first glance that causes the problems. It's the boxes within the boxes and the folders and the trays and the stacks and the bags, and pretty soon it can take over your whole life. And that's kind of how this Sermon on the Mount is. It's as though Jesus took all the things that he needed to teach his disciples and said, "Let me give you a course outline, because I'm not going to be here for your senior year or your master's work or your career." Here it is. Of course, it's possible that Jesus didn't do this at all, but that those who wrote about him later, especially those who contributed to this Gospel of Matthew, decided, hey, let's get right to the meat of this and write it down in a way that will be easy to access. Someone will want the whole book, while others will want the cliff notes. Well, it's hard for me to believe we've pretty much gotten to the end of this sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We started way back in August, and today is actually the next to the last day in the series, but in a way, I'm wrapping it up because I'm talking about the final section. Now, next week, we'll come back and we'll pick up some pieces that have been spread throughout the Sermon on the Mount about forgiveness and repentance and revenge. Big topics. But today we've got another one of those very well-known sections from the Gospel of Matthew, so let's get right to that. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these words, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Okay, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but raise your hand if this is you. How many of you learned this song when you were a child? The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. Yeah. Yeah, many of us learned that. And now that we've grown up, though, you know, it's a lot more serious than that. Now it's like we sang this morning, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. His oath, his covenant, his love support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm standing on the rock, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. No building on sand for me. I am in good shape, right?" Well, not really, because you see, here's a mistake many of us make. We take a look at these verses and we mistakenly think that it's all about choice. The foolish one builds a house upon the sand and it ends up looking like the one on the screen. Well, go back, please. Just, yeah, there you go. And it ends up looking like that. The foolish one builds a house on the sand. The wise one knows to build a house upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. But the choice here is not whether to stand on faith or not. The choice here is not between solid and shifty. We'd all choose solid, right? We'd all choose faith, right? Now, there is a choice presented here. It's just not a choice about building on sand or building on rock, building on faith or building on not faith. The choice is this. Now we can go to that next one. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The choice here is to hear Jesus' words and teachings and act on them, or to hear his words and teachings and not act on them. I want to take you back to the beginning of this whole sermon series. I read you some words from Robin Myers. He wrote a book called Saving Jesus from the Church, and it's worth reading. But this is what he said about the Sermon on the Mount. Strangely, we have come to a moment in human history when the message of the Sermon on the Mount could indeed save us, but it can no longer be heard above the din of dueling doctrines. Consider this, he says, there is not a single word in the Sermon on the Mount about what to believe, only words about what to do. So as we look back over these last 3 months, what has Jesus said to us about what to do? Well, first, it starts with opening ourselves to the plight of other human beings. In the Beatitudes, it tells us, as Charles Dickens says, to open our shut-up hearts freely and to think of other people as if they were fellow travelers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. The Beatitudes exhorted us to feel the blessedness of the poor in spirit, to feel the blessedness of those who hunger for righteousness, for justice, to be salt and light, to live in covenant and not simply in contracts, to hear the teachings of Jesus and act on them is to build a house on rock. To not act is to build a house on sand. Well, here's another thing we get confused on. We get confused into thinking that if we build a house on rock, if we cling to our faith, we won't be pummeled and pounded by the storms. We won't get hurt. We won't be lonely. We won't ever need anything. We can just hold on and hold out for heaven. But no. The storms come whether the house is built on sand or on rock. So this is what I'm getting at here. We've got to stop shortchanging this passage. We've got to dig in. Listen as I tell you about this house. This house is called the Sand Palace. It's on 36th Street in Mexico Beach, Florida. And it came through Hurricane Michael looking like that. Here's a little bit of history. After Hurricane Andrew, which was Category 5, many of you will remember it, after Hurricane Andrew ravaged Miami-Dade County in 1992, new construction in that area was required to withstand 175 mile an hour winds. Now, in the coastal panhandle, where they're usually affected less by storms, the requirement was lower, 120 to 150. But in this area, Miami-Dade County, 175 mile per hour winds. Any new construction had to hold up to that. Well, Dr. Lackey, who built this house, said that they built this house to withstand 250 mile an hour winds. The house was built from poured concrete, reinforced steel cables, rebar, with additional concrete bolstering at the corners, all the corners of the house. The space under the roof was minimized so that the wind couldn't sneak in and lift that roof off and interfere with the integrity of the entire structure. The high pilings meant that it could keep above the surge of seawater. Mr. King, who was one of the co-owners of the house, said, "I believe the planet's getting warmer and the storms are getting stronger. We didn't have used to have storms like this, so people living on the coast have to be ready for it. We're thinking that we needed to build a house that would last for generations." Here's the result. Sherry and I went to the Florida Panhandle for vacation last year. We arrived, we went for a nice dinner, we settled in, we woke up, we had some coffee, and then we heard it. Bang, bang, bang. We walked out onto the balcony and saw a machine like this at work on the beach, building a house on the sand that could hold out, that could hold up to anything. Bang, bang, driving those pylons in. Here's the truth. Jesus was using a simple metaphor. Act on these words of mine and build your house, your life, on a foundation of rock. Don't act on these words of mine and build your house on sand. Here's what I'm saying. Hopefully, we've made a few intellectual advances in 2,000 years. Hopefully, we've learned a little about building. It's not as much where we build the house, it's how we build it. It's the work that we put into it, especially the foundation. There's a message for us here. There are no shortcuts. This morning, I want to ask you, you've come through these 3 months with us. You've listened to this Sermon on the Mount, these little nuggets, these pieces. This morning, I want to ask you, what is your house built on? Are you doing the work? Are you doing the digging? Digging into scripture, history, current events? Do you know what's going on in the world? And are you planting those concrete pylons, the kind with integrity, honesty, compassion, courage, faith? If you feel yourself buffeted by every storm, in danger of falling, do you need to reach out? You need to see your doctor, eat better, get enough sleep, go back to school, get sober, fortify your life with prayer, get to know your neighbor, reconcile with a family member, join a Bible study or the choir or volunteer with the children. You don't have to save the world. You just have to be engaged with it. Care about it. Show up for it. And there's a message here too. For the church. So many churches want to take the easy way. Did you hear about this light church? That's L-I-T-E, the light church. 24% fewer commitments. Home of the 7.5% tithe. 10-minute sermons. 45-minute worship services. We only have 8 commandments, your choice. We just use 3 instead of 4 spiritual laws. We are everything you've wanted in a church and less. Look at this church. It's not built on sand or rock. Do you remember? It's built on dirt. Truckload after truckload after truckload of dirt. You know how low the parking lot is back here? Where you're sitting used to be that low too, remember? At the end of the parking lot, you just went down the road into the grass. Took a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. And not just the physical kinds, but the spiritual kinds, the kind that brought some people, when it wasn't nearly this friendly in Austin, that brought some people together who said, yeah, gay and Christian is a real thing. And a life-saving and a life-giving thing. And so even if I'm going to be buffeted a little bit about it, I'm going to be part of this. And the people who built and the people who sacrificed and the people who still show up. It takes the effort, the work to build the church that will last. Well, I felt a little odd getting to this point and ending the sermon this morning. Because here's the thing. I can stand up here today and tell you the Sermon on the Mount tells you nothing about what to believe, but only about what to do. And then the minute I let you go, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to say, Pastor didn't even talk about grace this morning. Pastor didn't talk about faith this morning. He just talked about work. Well, here's what I want to say. That's just for today. It's just for today. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been talking about how the Sermon on the Mount has all these little nuggets. But to really get at the breadth of these nuggets, you have to go everywhere else in the Scripture. New Testament, Old Testament, Gospels, letters. So, for example, the Sermon on the Mount tells us nothing about what to believe, only what to do. And then we go to the book of James, and what does it tell us? Faith without works is dead. Oh, we're right on there. That matches up. Faith without works is dead. And then we go to Martin Luther, who said the book of James is straw. It should be thrown out of the Bible, for all is grace. All is grace. So here's where I want to end this today with just a few thoughts about sand. Think about going to the beach, spending a little time on it, and getting sand everywhere. Everywhere. The Word of God is like that. Start spending some time there, and you will find it everywhere. It's not just a Sermon on the Mount. It's millions upon billions of grains of sand. It's the words of Scripture It's the words of teaching. It's the words that you hear from your Sunday school teachers and your Bible study teachers. It's what you experience in life. It's not just a single grain of sand. It's complex. It's here. And here's what I really want to say. For many of us, our experience of sand, our experience of life, our experience of faith is like digging in the sand. I wanted to be very careful about encouraging you today to do too much work, because in a world as complicated as this, in a world where Susan's prayers make her cry, and those of you listening are crying, and I guarantee some of you are crying at the news, in a world that is that complicated, if I just send you to work, then I'm afraid you're going to feel like you're digging in sand. And it's just going to come back on you, and back on you, and back on you. So I do want you to work. I want you to put in the work. I want you to make the sacrifice. I'm not talking about life-changing, earth-changing, world-changing things. I'm talking about things like getting to know your neighbor a little better, driving more kindly, reconciling with a family member, volunteering to work with the children here, going over to decorate, to do some of the activities for next week for the Halloween carnival, singing in the choir. I guarantee you, I know some of you out there, I could see you, your faith was lifted today by the music. And if you thought that was something, just wait about till you hear next. But sometimes it can feel like digging in the sand. So here's what I want to leave you with. Your faith. When it feels like every time you put the shovel in, more falls back on top of you. When it feels like it doesn't matter if you're on the rock or the sand, the storms are pummeling you and pummeling you and pummeling you. I do want you to fall back on faith. I do want you to fall back on the one who says, "Come to me, all you who labor, all you who are heavy, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who are trying to figure it out, all you who are trying to figure out how to live, all you who are trying to figure out how to survive, all you who are trying to figure out how to give a hand out and up to someone else when you haven't got one yourself, come unto me, fall on your faith, and I will give you rest."